In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear canons, dear Father, Monsieur l'Abbé, dear sisters, members of the Society of the Sacred Heart, dear faithful, here we are, my flock, in the midst of the most sacred ceremonies ever instituted amongst mortal men. These are the sacred rites lovingly handed down from our first fathers, defended by the ink of illustrious doctors and by the blood of countless martyrs. Who would ever dare to touch these rites, these holy and divine ceremonies of Holy Week? We cannot fathom such a mystery. Let us not think on it. We here are blessed these days to have Christ and his apostles present to us in this most venerable of liturgies. We must hold our tongues and simply adore, in the wondrous words of the psalmist, "A praise of silence, O God, becometh thee in Zion." On this particular day of Holy Week, at least, the priest is expected to preach to his flock. But it is no easy task to find fitting words on this day. Indeed, how does the priest dare to raise his own voice when the evangelist himself seems to remain in silence before the mystery? On Palm Sunday, Holy Tuesday, Spy Wednesday, we have heard in the passions of Matthew, Mark, and Luke of the institution of the Holy Eucharist and of the sacred priesthood, by which it comes to us until the end of time. Yet today, on the very anniversary of the institution of these sacraments, we hear the Gospel of St. John, who passes over the moment in silence. It is as though the Church, in her divine wisdom, says to us, "You have heard the history. No need to repeat it today when we are transported back to that very time and place to witness it before our very eyes." The words of consecration pronounced by the priest here present in the person of Christ say enough. What more can be said? Those words of our Savior were enough to bring into being the sacraments of Eucharist and Holy Orders. As the immortal Council of Trent taught, declaring himself constituted a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, our Savior offered up to God the Father his own body and blood under the species of bread and wine. And under the symbols of those same things, he delivered his own body and blood to be received by his apostles, whom he then constituted priests of the New Testament. And by those words, "Do this in commemoration of me," he commanded them and their successors in the priesthood to offer them, even as the Catholic Church has always understood and taught. For having celebrated the ancient Passover, which the multitude of the children of Israel immolated in memory of their going out of Egypt, he instituted the new Passover, that is, himself, to be immolated under visible signs by the Church through the ministry of priests in memory of his own passage from this world unto the Father, when by the effusion of his own blood he redeemed us and delivered us from the power of darkness and conducted us into his kingdom. This is indeed that clean oblation which cannot be defiled by any unworthiness or malice of those that offer it, which the Lord foretold by Malachias was to be offered in every place, clean to his name, which was to be great amongst the Gentiles. The Holy Eucharist is at once sacrament and sacrifice. And since there is no sacrifice without priesthood, our blessed Savior would not institute this new sacrifice and leave his Church for one moment without an enduring priesthood, by which he could fulfill his commandment, "Do this for the commemoration of me." This is the essence of the priesthood of the New Testament. We can say that in this last age of an aging world, to be a priest means to be able to pronounce the words of our Lord and thereby cause him to be really, truly, and substantially present under the appearances of bread and wine, so that he appears, as he did on that first Good Friday, not yet in a state of glory, but as a blood offering for the sins of the world. As we prepare for that darkest of days on the church calendar, when Mass itself will not be celebrated, and when the chanting of the Passion will be its own sermon, let us thank our good God for the Catholic priesthood, our only link with that first Holy Week 2,000 years ago, and which is all our hope and our salvation. And let us pray for all men, living and deceased, who have been called to participate in that one eternal high priesthood, especially all the priests who have ever offered the supreme sacrifice on the altars of this church. We do not have many sacrifices, but we have one, the sacrifice of the cross, a truly present here and now under the sacramental veils. And so we have not many priesthoods, but we have one, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. That is why any man raised to the dignity by the bishop's laying on of hands must be called an alter Christus, another Christ. He is our priest, and he is our victim, our sacred host. Like Christ, our high priest and victim, he is raised up, he is broken, and he is consumed. Like the host, the priest is raised up, exalted among men, not so that he may receive honor and praise in this world, but so that while our high priest now reigns gloriously at the right hand of the Father, people may gaze upon the frail man who represents him here on earth and see the one whom they have pierced by their sins. Like the host, the priest is broken. On this night, our Lord told his disciples, "The servant is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." If the priest on earth is faithful to his master, he will be broken in two, and at least a small fragment of his person will be mingled in blood. If he is not persecuted, he is simply fleeing from his priesthood. Even if he does not openly betray our Lord, like the newly ordained priest Judas, he turns his back on his vocation. When, like Peter this very night, sequebatur a longe, he follows Christ only from afar. The priest who hedges his vocation on avoiding hardship and persecution, who follows his master only from a safe distance, will soon find the need to mingle amongst the enemies of the cross of Christ and warm himself with the fires of the world. Like the host, the priest is consumed. All the baptized are immersed in Christ's death. They are all called to put off the old man and don the new. How much more so the priest? How much more should he desire that nothing remain of his self-love, but that he be utterly devoured for the salvation of the sheep entrusted to him? No one has ever understood this truth more deeply than the inspired writer St. Paul, who met with rebellion, contempt, and betrayal by his own little lambs, and yet declared, "I most gladly will spend and be spent myself for your souls. Although loving you more, I be loved less." This is the sublime vocation of the priesthood, which we are called to adore today. In so doing, we are led not to praise and flatter the unworthy men who have been raised to it, but seeing so many priests faithful in their ministry, we are led to consider him whom we have pierced by our sins, and thank him for dying for us. To him, our eternal high priest, be all honor and glory unto ages of ages. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.